If you brought your Bible, great, turn to Matthew 13. If you did not, you're familiar with it. I'm not sure, and how many of you know theology matters? I know where the theology of the people I work with on the leadership level of the statesmen are, because we would not be able to work together. Not out of snobbishness or whatever, but we wouldn't be able to work together and pull together if we did not have the same core theology. I don't know where all of you are. I don't know where you are on eschatology, which obviously is dealing with the eschatons, the ages, for one transition and another. But I came out of the pre-mill position back in the early 70s. And I just want to say, hermeneutically, dealing with the interpretation of Scripture, one of the laws is you interpret the obscure by the clear. That's a critical foundation of correct theology. And Jesus, in Matthew 13, is more explicit about eschatology himself than anywhere else in the New Testament. And in remembering the parable of sowing, a man sends out his servants to sow. They sow wheat. They go back to check. I'm very synoptic here. They go back to check on it. And they find, what do they find? They find tares. Somebody has planted tares in the wheat field. Everybody with me? Everybody remember the parable? And they, being good servants, want to help the situation. And they say to Jesus, can we go out and tear the wheat up? Tear the tares up. But he says to them in verse 30, allow them both to grow together until the time of the harvest. Actually, go back one verse if you have your scripture there. Verse 29, he said to their, can we tear them up? No, for while you're gathering up the tares, you will uproot the wheat with them. That one verse, for me, since it's very clear, biblically eliminates what we've been called short circuit or shorthand for the rapture. The teaching that Jesus is going to pull the church off the earth, and that there will be, whether you put it into a millennium phase, that a phase of things getting worse and worse with the global world system now, church being removed, a whole scenario plays out. How can that be true when Jesus explicitly, with absolute clarity, said, no, if you pull the tares out of the wheat, you'll tear up the wheat. In other words, the root structure of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world are so intertwined on the earth that you cannot remove one without destroying the other. Are you breathing? Anybody that has a theology of that whole story, that when we're raptured out of here, the world system is still going to be doing what it does, except worse. How is that possible when Jesus explicitly said, you can't pull the wheat or the tares out. You can't separate them. If you pull out one, you're pulling out the other. Now, this is a very absolute statement. Any theology that undermines a statement so direct and so cosmic as that kind of a statement about the relationship of the wheat and the tares being intertwined until what? Until the end of the age, so to speak, until the wheat and the tares have come to fruition. I'm just wanting you to look at what the Bible says without somebody explaining it to you. What does the text clearly say? You cannot separate the wheat and the tares independently. If you pull up one, you'll pull up the other. Some of you look like calves at a new gate. But I'm just saying you ought to think about this, okay? There's another verse I want to point out, verse 47. In the last of his analogies in Matthew 13 about the kingdom of God, it is by no accident, a God who is so into numerology as God is, I mean, anybody besides me ever talk to God and tell him how strange he is respectfully? I do it all the time. God cares about things on a level of exactness that for me, close enough is good enough. How many of you know close enough is not good enough for God? I mean, he is functioning on a... That's the feminine side of God. I'm convinced of that. Brothers, how many of you have tried more than once to say to your wife, it's good enough, let it go, and they will not budge? All right, come on, pretend like you know what I'm saying. Why is the dragnet the last of the parables? Okay? And he talks about this, even the one that follows in 51, he's punctuating what he just said. I believe we are right now in the beginning of the dragnet evangelism of the kingdom of God. It's even interesting that it is net. Jesus came, we're taught, and truthfully so, at the perfect point in human history, not the least of which was the road systems that had been developed in the Roman Empire. The communication system was critically important relative to the time Jesus came and the safety of the roads. Okay, that God thinks on that kind of a level. In the net, we're moving from fishing with a pole to a net that is gathering on a massive level. He says the kingdom of God is like a large net cast into the sea, which biblically certainly means the nations, the world. And you see this kingdom net going out and gathering in fish. Now, the beauty of this, and again, we're running out of time and I want to hold to this. It isn't just we've gone into mass evangelism. Mass evangelism. And in this net, and here's an incredible thing to me. In the net, he says, are the saved and the unsaved. In the same way that the Jews, the Israel, had resident aliens, when Solomon took his census, he came back with men over 20, that's who got counted in a census, of about 250,000 resident alien males over 20, which means with wives and children, there was probably about 2 million non-Jewish people who had come into their situation for the blessing that God was released in Israel. Okay? That says something about immigration. I won't touch that. But you got 2 million out of a population of maybe 5 are there to live under the shadow of the blessing of Elohim and the culture that he had created with David and would soon follow with Solomon. The Jews, who were not even permitted from their tradition to eat with unbelievers, nevertheless had that many resident aliens. And here we see the perfect picture of that for the church. In this kingdom net, you've got people who are not part of the church, i.e. they're unsaved, but they are caught up in this great kingdom movement in the earth. That to me is as clear as it gets. As the challenges begin to culturally, economically face us, as sin continues to fragment the nations, if our message and the lifestyle that we're creating has the life of Christ in it, there's going to be a lot of people who, like those resident aliens, are want to get as close to the kingdom of God as they can. I mean, read it. It's very clear. I want to close that with this wonderful comment and gift. Notice when you do read this that you and I are not called to sort out the saved from the unsaved. If you really hear that when you read it in the Spirit, it relieves you and I of deciding who of God's created human beings are saved, and he gives that job to the angels. Now, I don't see any wings in here. And there's no way that as long as we believe our job is to sort out the saved and the unsaved in this great kingdom movement, we would be fighting against God. I want to introduce to you the freedom and the joy of you are not called to determine who's saved and not saved. It's a huge relief from a burden that Jesus said. How many of you know if all else fails, what did Jesus say? He said, get out of the way. Don't you be the separator of who I created, saved and unsaved. That job has been given to the angels. We will not have unity in the kingdom movement till that need for human beings to try and decide who's saved and who isn't.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.